And as I said, this will be our last time in the book of Philippians. And it has been a delight, and I hope you feel the same. But let's fix our attention once more again on God's blessed book, Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Hear now God's word. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, in college, one thing that is a particular activity that people engage in is going to movies on Friday nights sometimes. Maybe this is more so the case for guys than girls, but I know when I was in college and we would go occasionally on Friday nights to a movie, we would take with us this one friend who, after the movie was over and the credits began to roll, he would sit there glued in his seat. And everybody else in the auditorium is getting up and leaving, and we're wanting to get up and leave as well, but here's our friend sitting there, still fixated on the screen and reading every single name that is going up in the credits, as though he wanted to get every last bit of entertainment possible out of the movie, get every dime of his value out of the movie. And we would be sitting there thinking, oh, we kind of want to go. We don't really care about the names on the screen. And we'd begin to get impatient, but he was typically the driver, and so we had to sit and wait patiently, and he was interested in who the second camera team was and who held the boom mic in the outside, you know, filming team. He was just interested in every last detail. He's one of these movie buffs. And so we had to wait patiently, even though we wanted to be moving on and going and getting coffee or something else. But you see, the point is that as we got to the end of the movie, we couldn't just rush right through. And as we get to the end of the book of Philippians, sometimes we're tempted to want to just rush right through the final greetings, rush right through the end and get on to what's next and what other teachings God will have for us in our next sermon series or in the next book that we're reading in our quiet times or whatever the case may be. But we have to remember the important truths that are before us, even in the concluding verses, and not just want to rush right through and to get on to what is next. But not only that, as we sat there discontent in the movie theaters, so too our teaching tonight is very much on contentment. And we must be content with the end of the book of Philippians, and we are commanded to do just that, to be content. And Paul's teaching to the Philippians, and God's teaching to you as the saints here in Lafayette, is to be content in want or in plenty, because Christ meets all of your needs. Be content in want and in plenty, for Christ meets all of your needs. And as again we see very clearly, Paul in verse 11 says that he is content in any circumstance. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now this is a fascinating statement coming from a prisoner, someone who doesn't know whether or not he will live or die, what the outcome of his trial will be. Philippians, of course, just sent him a monetary gift that we see in our section this evening, and they sent him Epaphroditus, and so they're meeting his needs. But still, for him to say that he's content in any circumstances is a great statement, a bold statement, almost an unbelievable one. And it becomes all the more unbelievable or clear in light of what we see in 2 Corinthians when Paul talks about his lists of suffering. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following, just listen to this list. Listen to all these things that this man endured. He's talking about the super apostles, and he says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one." 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Whew. That is a long list, but if that's not enough, he goes on to say, and besides the other things, besides all that I've listed, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Here is a man who is burdened. Here's a man who has suffered tremendously. And in light of all this, he still says that in whatever state I am, he's learned what it is to be content. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is Paul, surely, right? This is miraculous Paul, supernatural Paul, or something like that. Is this our pattern as well? Is this our duty? Well, certainly it is, because Paul has time and time again said to follow his example. And we know that this is the duty of every Christian. But it is also the glory and the excellence of only the Christian. Because only the Christian can truly be content in all circumstances, in trials and tribulation, because it's only in Christ that we could possibly find this contentment. You see, non-Christians look for contentment on their own. Self-sufficiency, or even in their circumstances, whatever those circumstances may be. But it's only the Christian who says it's regardless of their circumstances. And it's not a self-sufficiency, but a Christian sufficiency, a Christ sufficiency. And so the cry of every non-Christian is that hymn from U2, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." You see, this is the heart of every non-Christian. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Because they are discontent, unwilling to find satisfaction, because only Christ is who satisfies. And Paul, of course, goes on to say that in every circumstance, in all circumstances, he is content. He says in verse 12, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." You see, this sets the stage for the two aspects that we will be looking at this evening, in want and in plenty, that he is content in both of these circumstances, no matter what. But in verse 10, he begins the story of receiving blessing from the Philippians, and he says that he rejoices greatly, and now at last your care for me has flourished again. though you surely did care, but lacked opportunity. Now, they have given him Epaphroditus to come to minister to him. They've given him a financial gift. And he says, at last, you've cared for me. And it sounds almost like he's reprimanding them. If you're waiting for someone and they're late to meeting you and they get there and you're looking at your watch, you would say, well, finally, you got here. It's a not too subtle reprimand, right? Well, that's not what Paul is doing here. He's saying that they've been longing to give to him, longing to bless him, longing to meet a need, and they finally were able to do that. There was a need to supply, and so he's not in any way reprimanding them, but he is saying that he has received their gift. But in verse 11, he says that he's not in need. It's not because they've met his need that he's content. There's a different cause that he's content. You see, his external circumstances by no means dictated how he felt. And so our external circumstances are not to cause us to be troubled or to be anxious or to be worried or to grumble or to be dissatisfied. But how is that possible? Well, remember the teachings that we've learned in the book of Philippians so far, that all things are lost compared to the surpassing greatness of Christ. To live is Christ and to die is gain. That our citizenship is in heaven, that God will complete the good work that He has begun in us, that Christ was humbled, that He died, and that He has been exalted over all things. These are the truths of the book of Philippians. And Paul is saying, in light of all this, almost, how can we not be content? Now, if we think of all of these wonderful riches that we have, all of these blessings that we have, how can we not be content? We've been given everything in Jesus Christ that we need. A family, when their child was 3 years old, they were going through difficult times, and this family had financial issues, and they were even talking to their three-year-old child and saying, you know, we might end up on the street. It's very possible that we would end up living on the street. And from the lips of this child, the child said, well, that's okay, Mommy, even if we do end up on the street, because at least we still have Jesus, and that's all we need. What childlike faith? But that's just abstract, isn't it? Is that where your faith is? Is that where you are? As long as you have Jesus, you have all that you need. Doesn't matter what the external circumstances are. In all circumstances, you have everything you need in Christ. Well, see, Paul was content even when he was in need. You see, he currently is in need as he's writing this book. He's in prison. Yes, it's true that Epaphroditus came to his aid. He received this financial gift, but he's, of course, in prison. But it's so fascinating. Look at the very end of the book. In verses 21 and 22, he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. It's interesting because it seems like it's just a passing greeting. But it's fascinating there that he says that it's especially Caesar's household who is greeting the Philippians. It's not talking about Caesar's family, but there he is in prison in Rome. And as he's in prison, he's still ministering to those in the government, those in authority, those who are his captors, and they're coming to faith in Christ. And I think that he would be smiling as he writes this in good humor. Oh yes, all the Christians greet you, especially those in Caesar's house who came to faith as they were holding me captive here. You know, there's a little bit of humor there. He's in good spirits even as he's writing from prison, I believe. Because even in such circumstances, Christ is still using him and ministering through him. But it's also true that the brethren are with him. The church is with him. Wherever he goes, the church is there. Do you see the church as important? Do you see the church as coming around you in a time of need? Do you turn to the church when you are troubled, when you are in need? Or do you turn to your non-Christian friends? Or do you turn to others? Or do you turn to yourself and self-reliance? You see, Paul, as he's in prison, he's with the brethren. They're with Him and they are meeting His needs. You see, even when we are in need, the church is there, Christ is there, supplying and meeting all of our needs. But yet we live in a discontented society, don't we? And even the church has started to believe in that more and more. We pray regularly, Lord, take us out of this situation. Our prayers sometimes are discontent with our situation. Lord, take this from me. This is too hard. And while it's okay to pray in such a way, are we discontent when we pray in such a way that the Lord would relieve us of these things? You see, our culture is one of greed. We want more and we want to be entertained again and again. We always want change. And the only thing our culture is content with, it seems, is its sin. And yet that's the only thing that the Scriptures teach that we should not be content with, is our own sin. So when we are in need, we can be content. But it's also true that when we have plenty, we can be content. And now, if you look with me at verses 14 through 18, Paul recounts about the gift that the Philippians has given him. We won't read every verse, but just glance there with me. He's saying that they've met his need and shared with him in his distress. And he says that they've participated with him in the ministry from the beginning of the gospel when he departed Macedonia. What he means by that is when the gospel first came to Macedonia, it came to the Philippians. And from the beginning of the gospel there in Philippi, they immediately started supporting him. He went on next to Thessalonica and they began supporting him then, immediately. And so then he says, not only have you participated from the beginning, but then they give the gift now. And in verse 17, he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. You see, he's saying that he doesn't really need this financial gift. He didn't really need Epaphroditus because Christ is supplying all of his needs. It's somewhat would seem like or sound like the person who has everything. Have you ever tried to buy a present for someone who has everything they want or has everything that they need? You know, you take a long time picking it out. You're at the store. Well, he might have that. He probably doesn't have that. I don't know. Would he want that? And you finally pick a gift and you give it to them. And maybe you get something like, well, at least the thought counts. You know, I appreciate the thought. Now, it's hard to buy a gift for somebody who has everything that they need. Well, Paul does have everything he needs, but that's not the mentality with which he's saying this. But he's more concerned about the giver than he is with receiving the gift. You see that? He's saying, I'm not concerned about the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account because you've given it. Not as though they are earning somehow favor with God so that God is in debt to them. That's not the case. But he goes on to explain in verse 18, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. You see, he's saying that their gift was a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, well-pleasing to God. Our works and our obedience by no means makes God our debtor. He does not owe to us anything. Christ is the one who has earned our blessings and earned all the good that flows to us. But as we obey out of gratitude, it is this sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God that Paul is talking about here. You see, they are sharing in the ministry with Paul, and they are giving sacrificially. And so, in a sense, he is no longer in need at all. He's abounding. He has plenty. He is not in want. And that's what he says in verse 17. I have all and abound. I am full. This is the idea of a check being paid in full. I am full is that meaning. Paid in full. Right? That's what the Greek carries with it there. Check. Paid in full. No more debt. No more need whatsoever. And the Philippians had done this out of their poverty, not out of their great wealth, not out of their plenty. We see that in 2 Corinthians when he talks about the Philippian church as giving out of their poverty. We in the church today are far from impoverished. We have a great abundance, plenty here in America. I don't know if we know what it give out of poverty or give sacrificially, because there is a difference between giving generously and giving sacrificially. But even if we are to give sacrificially and to do so in faith, Christ will supply all that we need. Christ will supply all of our needs. And that's what we see in verses 19 and 20. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, he's saying, as they give out of their poverty, as they sacrificially give, Paul's saying that's not a problem. Because Christ meets all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now this doesn't just mean that when we get to heaven, oh yes, we'll have plenty and we'll abound there, and all the sacrifices we've made or something will be rectified, something like that in heaven. That's not the idea here. Remember what Jesus says in Luke 18. He says, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. You see, Christ meets all of our needs in this life and the next. And so if we were to give sacrificially, obey out of plenty, or obey even in our need, He meets all of our needs in this life as well as in the next. And so if you were really to live a life of faith like that, trusting in an all-sufficient Savior, He does meet every one of your needs. He is sufficient for everything in this life. He's not insufficient in the slightest bit. Now, I have one wife, and she has one husband. And if we were to be in a difficult time and to be arguing or something, would it be okay for me to call up an old girlfriend and talk to an old girlfriend and hope that that old girlfriend would meet a need? Would that be appropriate at all? Absolutely not. Every single woman in this room knows that that would be horribly offensive and completely unacceptable. Everyone in this room knows that that's completely unacceptable, right? Either my wife is all sufficient and the only relationship I need like that, or she's insufficient, right? Either Christ is all sufficient or He's insufficient. Either Christ supplies all your need or He is not a sufficient Savior. You see, what do you rely on? Jesus Christ, when you are in need, or do you rely on your own abilities as well? Or your own wealth? Or your own ability to invest? Or whatever the case may be. Is He sufficient? Or is He insufficient? Well, in light of all this then, be content through Christ who gives you strength. You see, there's a verse that I've ignored, and it's the verse that's the central theme of our passage tonight. It's verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, we could say that that's the theme of all of Philippians, or the theme of all of Christianity, the theme of the entire Bible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this doesn't mean that if we just have enough faith, we can flap our arms and we can fly. It doesn't mean anything without limits or without bounds. That's silly. And it's also not a mantra that we just say again and again and again. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's how we somehow get through the day. That's not the point of it. The point is the relationship behind words. The point is union with Christ. The point is that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And He's not ashamed to say that you are His people. It's that relationship, union with Christ, that makes all the difference. is the basis for our contentment. It's our basis for our ability to obey in all circumstances. It's Christ who strengthens us. And this is Paul's secret. If we were to ask Paul, how are you content in every circumstance? Look at this huge list. How are you content, Paul? It's through Christ who gives me strength. This is his spiritual secret. And if you've ever read the book, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, you'll remember that this too is Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret. Union with Christ. If you've not read the book, I just spoiled the spiritual secret for you. But it's an excellent book about Hudson Taylor. He's a missionary to mainland China. But the secret is union with Christ. The relationship with Christ. That He supplies all of our needs. That we would be found in Him and in Him alone. That we are righteous because He has provided it. We are forgiven because He has paid the penalty. That we have every spiritual blessing because He has given it to us. We are able to obey because He supplied His Spirit to us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How can you be content? It's only through Jesus Christ, our all-sufficient Savior. Well, brothers and sisters, we will likely never be back in the book of Philippians together as a group in such a way and in such depth in this life. But as we've gone through the book of Philippians together, I hope that you are cherishing the truths and are not quick to move on from the truths that we've learned. And as we move on to our next sermon series and move on to the other teachings that God has for us, may you not forget these central truths, and most importantly, may you not forget the central theme, which we could say of the entire book of Philippians, is that it's all about Christ and that you can do all things through Him and in Him and because of Him. And so I hope that you will be content with the teachings of the book of Philippians, that you'll cling to them regularly and often, and that you would be content in all circumstances because Christ meets all your needs. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we do thank You for Your wonderful riches and truths that You have given to us and supplied to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have everything we need for life and godliness. That we are able to obey Your commands. Not because we're great. Not because we're even sufficient in and of ourselves. But because Jesus Christ is all sufficient. And so it is our prayer, Lord, that You would strengthen us and that You would enliven our minds more and more, that we might know and appreciate and love and adore that sufficient Savior more and more each day. As we continue to study Your Word, as we continue to ponder on these great truths, may it bring our mind to that all-sufficient Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know that we stand only in Him. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your psalm books by way of response. Psalm 84b. We sung it in the favorites. We'll sing it again. It's a great psalm. Advancing still from strength to strength. Psalm 84b. But take a look at verses 10 and 11. Let me find verse 10 there. One day within your courts will yield more good than thousands without you. I